Good day, everyone. This is JD, and I'll be your host today for the Going Deeper podcast. This is episode 27 of the Going Deeper podcast. Now, for those of you that are really keeping up with things, episode 26 was last week, and despite the fact that it didn't go out, we absolutely did it. I just want everybody to know that we had an unfortunate technical difficulty moment, and myself and Jeff and Mary Jean all sat down last week and did a 45-minute podcast, speaking back and forth just like normal, only to get done with it and realize that it hadn't recorded. So so for those of you that were expecting a podcast last week and didn't get it, we're very sorry, but we absolutely sat down and got it done. It just didn't record. So this morning, however, we are back at it after discussing the movie Solo during our second week of God on Film. And this morning with me are Jeff.
Good morning.
And Eric Callahan.
Good morning.
Eric Callahan, for those of you that don't know him, is our Facilities and Operations Director, and he is here today to hang out. Welcome to the podcast, Eric.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I could join you today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to start with you guys with the question that we asked last week, but of course nobody heard because the recording didn't go through. So we're going to start today by just asking you guys to kind of lob in your favorites for God on Film. We've been doing God on Film now for this is our fourth year of God on Film, and it's been a really fun thing to do during the summertime to think through biblical themes by assessing the movies that are coming out during the summer. So Jeff, why don't you give us your favorite God on Film movie to this point in our God on Film history?
I would say it was a movie that we did last year, I think it was, and it was a movie called The Free State of Jones. And the reason that that particular movie stands out to me is because I'm a history buff, and that movie had a whole lot of historical context to it. It was about a period of time during the Civil War and something that happened that we rarely ever hear about. And I just thought it was a really cool rendition of that particular story. And it just had a lot of cool themes that you could work with as a teacher. And so that's probably been my favorite so far.
All right. Well, now, Eric, as a first-timer to the podcast, welcome. But we usually start with a question or something like that. So give us your favorite God on Film movie that we've discussed so far during the years you've been here.
Well, this is going to sound bad, but I would have to go with Solo, just this past one, because being a huge Star Wars fan, I mean, and growing up that way. And,
so you're a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, my. Yes. Oh, and it's Star Wars, not Star Trek. I mean, so for the Star Trekkies out there, I apologize. It's Star Wars all the way. So, but yeah, I just really grew up with the Star Wars and have had, you know, the Star Wars trilogies and then the new movies and everything. And I just have been a huge fan. And of course, you know, Han Solo is always the man. So I've really enjoyed that. So, you know, when you pulled that out for God on Film, that was definitely a exciting point for me. So.
Oh, cool. So favorite, Star Wars.
Well, I'm not sure I'm an aficionado,
Star Wars and Star Trek. There's a little attitude there.
Yeah, so the question is, have you ever attended a conference and dressed like one of the characters?
No. I've never been to, you know, like a Comic-Con or anything like that where, you know, I've got to be a stormtrooper or,
but you've
thought
about it, haven't you?
Well, I mean, you know, if given the opportunity, I'm not saying I wouldn't go. I mean, but yeah, I would definitely enjoy that.
All right, so favorite character. Is it Solo?
Yeah, he just has that, you know, that charismatic way about him and kind of easygoing attitude. So, yeah, I would say he's probably one of my faves.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Did you feel like this guy replicated Han Solo like Harrison Ford?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to ever, you know, come up with a character that would look exactly like and you know, kind of have that same characteristics and everything. But I think, you know, he did a good job with it. It was just, it's always hard when you know you have your original you're trying to compare to. So, but yeah, Harrison Ford, he'll always be Han Solo. So,
well, if I had to be really honest, there's a number of got on film movies that we've discussed over the years that were really powerful or fun. I think I would probably have to say the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows was my personal favorite for got on film over the years. I mean, the depth of the acting quality and the storyline, it was just
dialogue really, was just killer.
It really was. You don't get work like that every week, so. You know, it was it was a really fun movie and to kind of talk about the importance of friendship and brotherhood and all of that kind of stuff as we were going through that film and having gotten to teach that one, that was a lot of fun. We did that one a couple of years ago and I grew up, see, you know, like you said, you grew up, you know, big on Star Wars. I grew up big on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So they
Do say like totally tubular a lot.
So, absolutely, you know, like cowbunga, that. Dude.
Right.
I grew up. Favorite was Donatello always. And I got to be honest though, the way the new movies recast him, he's like more of a nerd and weird looking than he was in the old ones, and that kind of bummed me out a little bit. But you know. He struck me as a little cooler back in the day. Now they've kind of made him look a little weird, in my opinion, with the random glasses and whatnot. So, but we discussed this past week the movie Solo. And Dad, why don't you just give us a quick rundown? Obviously, those of us that were in attendance this past Sunday had the chance to get a full sense of kind of the plot line. But just give us some big brushstrokes on the movie and what you walked away with.
Well, I felt like the movie, really from beginning to end, the underlying theme in the movie was the search for a purpose. Because when Solo begins, when the movie begins, he's really a youngster, kind of in almost like a slave position to this White Worms gang, and he's sent out to do different jobs, and he's kind of the getaway driver, and his girlfriend Kira is also kind of enslaved to this gang. And so they're both trying to find a way off of this particular planet that they're on because life's hard and it's a dark place. It's a place that's ruled by gangs and they just want off of this planet. And so the big part in the first part of the movie, the big theme is to try and escape so that they can get away and hopefully find a better life. The big goal for him is to be with her and for them to have a life together. And unfortunately, when they're trying to make their escape, she gets captured while he's able to go on. And his big vow is to get back to her, to find her. And that really kind of defines him early in the movie is to try and get back to this girl. Unfortunately, 3 years pass, and he runs into her quite by accident. She's gotten off that planet, but now she is aligned with some very dark elements. She's aligned with another gang called the Crimson Dawn, and it's obvious that she's rising in the ranks. And so she's clearly made some choices in her life that are very different from him. And she's a very different person than she was. And so there's actually a sad element to me in the movie because at the end, she flies off. I mean, she basically leaves him behind and he's kind of left to try and figure out now what's my life about. Mm. And I think that's one of those sad elements in the movie is at the very end of the movie, you just kind of see him flying off basically into the sunset with no particular direction and no particular goal. He's just a smuggler looking for the next job, that he can be involved in, or some crew that he can work with. But he has no real sense of direction. It's kind of sad, to be honest with you.
So as you discussed the film, and as you kind of dove into the biblical themes that rose out of that, you informed the audience that really the goal for us in kind of discovering our own purpose, what we're here for. Because, you know, I think that's kind of the big question, right? Everybody's asking to some degree or another, whether they think about it or not, everybody's kind of asking, what am I here for? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of all this? You know, what's, you know, that whole, the old trope, what's the meaning of life, right?
Exactly.
You know, and you encouraged us to kind of flip the question from what is my purpose to what is God's purpose for me. Explain why you felt like that was such an important thing for us to grasp.
Well, I think it's incredibly important because the starting point determines how you work through that question. And that's why I used the phrase on the outline, flipping the question, because when we start with ourselves, when we start asking that question, what is my purpose? And we start by looking within ourselves, we've started with the wrong starting point. And we have to flip that question to get the focus off of ourselves and onto our Creator. That's the important thing. Because we didn't create ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's impossible for us to look within and say, oh, this is my purpose. We don't determine that. Our purpose is determined by the one who created us. Mm-hmm. And until we can separate that out, until we can flip that question, instead of asking, what is my purpose, to asking, what is God's purpose for me because he created me, we're always going to get it wrong as long as we start by with the beginning point of ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that's tough. I mean, because you think about it, we live in the world. We only truly can see things from our perspective outside of a discussion, right? You know, mm-hmm. and obviously we can read the Bible, right, to get a sense of God's perspective. We can pray to get a sense of God's perspective. But by and large, we're inundated with loads and loads of information and constant self-talk. And so we're like constantly in our own mind, in our own world. And so it's tough not to view it from that point. I think it's a challenge to like extract from that, like moment to moment self focus almost, to get to a place where we go, you know what, this isn't really about me. I've got to stop viewing this as if it's about me.
I think, yeah, I think you're right. And I think that may be especially true in our culture because in America, I mean, we pride ourselves on our independence. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on freedom, mm-hmm. okay? And so our tendency is to think in terms of I, me, what do I want? What makes me happy? Mm-hmm. What do I want to pursue? I mean, you think about our Declaration of Independence.
Pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, if we're not careful, we can become very self-focused on that, and everything begins and ends with me.
Sure.
But that's obviously not what the Bible presents to us. And when we really think about it, I mean, everybody understands that we didn't create ourselves. We didn't. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that did get left on the cutting room floor with that lesson is, if you think of it like in terms of a car, okay, what is the purpose of a car? Well, if I'd never seen a car before and had no idea what it was about, and one day I just kind of happened upon a car sitting there, how am I going to figure that out? How am I going to figure out what it's for, what its purpose is? Because the car can't tell me. Mm-hmm. It won't.
Yeah.
Okay. I can ask it, but it's not answering the question. But if I get a hold of the owner's manual, now I may be able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for us. Okay. We really can't answer the question, what is my purpose? Because we didn't create ourselves. But if we look at the owner's manual, which is for us, God's word, the Bible, mm-hmm. now we can begin to figure out why God placed us on this earth and what our ultimate purpose is.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, if you think about how you started that, where you were asking the question about who determines my purpose, and you said, you know, me or others, I think the others is a huge part of that mm-hmm. for us in our world today, mm-hmm. that we think, okay, well, what do other people expect of me? Or what do others, or, you know, what's happening with other people that I should be like, or what, you know, I mean, anyway, so yeah. It's not just me and me, me. I mean, it's also the pressures of the world today and other people and this society or, you know, this situation or whatever. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot about the others as well as just me and what I think my purpose is.
Yeah. And I would agree. I mean, one of the fascinating, I think, things that you hear a lot in our culture is this idea of discover yourself, mm-hmm. figure out you and what you like and what you want and who you think you are and all that kind of stuff. But what's fascinating is every single one of us understands that that's a moving target.
True.
Like, I mean, true. When you think about it, like who each one of us is significantly different than who we were when we were five. You know, my purpose at five, I mean, if I'm viewing it from just a totally humanistic perspective, my purpose at five was like to eat and play with games and avoid naps. Like, I mean, that's my purpose at five, right? But like my purpose at 15 is different. My purpose at 30 is different. You know, like it changes. So, I mean, thinking about it in those terms, like, if we really truly try to base it off of us, we will live life kind of almost in this constant pinball back and forth from purpose to purpose to purpose. Mm-hmm. It would lead to a really scattered existence, I would think.
Yeah, and in no real sense of direction.
Yeah. I mean, especially like to Eric's point, I mean, if your direction is heavily influenced by others or you're looking for, you know, other people to affirm you in a particular direction, then, you know, the greatest amount of affirmation in a particular direction sends you in that direction until something changes. And then other people affirm you in a different direction. And then that changes. And all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, you've got no sustained direction.
Well, you have a lot of them too. I mean, you have like, you know, your work people that you're hanging out with, you have, you know, your friends, you have your neighbors, you have, I mean, all kinds of different situations that would send you in different directions.
Yeah.
Well, when you're growing up, your parents,
yeah,
the people in your school, mm-hmm. you know, your counselors, and those kinds of things, and you know, all of us have within us, I think, a certain some more than others, obviously, but we all, to some degree, want to please the people around us.
Sure.
And so we want to be accepted. We want to fit in, and if we're not careful, people can pull us in different directions, mm-hmm. and that people can create purposes for us if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And so the question is, you know, who determines? Is it you? Is it others? Or is it God? Mm-hmm. That's really where it ends up.
Yeah. So you landed on Sunday on the idea that really the purpose of life you know, you really just kind of drilled it down to the purpose of life is to glorify God with every part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We were discussing this at program the other night, the Westminster Catechism, right? One of those creedal statements, that many people within the context of the Christian faith, you know, believe, and, you know, a pretty wide ranging, you know, statement on the purpose of man, ask the question, what is the chief end of man? Right. What is the purpose? And that creedal statement goes on to say to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify God. So it's basically where you landed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. To glorify God. What on earth does that mean? Help us walk through that. What does the idea that our life, truly all of our life, every single part of it, every aspect, is to have a singular direction, glorify God. What jumps out at you guys as you hear that? What help us make sense of that a little bit?
Okay, you know, when I began preparing for that lesson, one of the things that really jumped out at me, because I hadn't really thought about this, in terms of just how many passages in the Bible talk about glorifying God or the glory of God. And I really had not studied that whole idea in depth. And it just amazed me when I opened up my concordance and looked up the word glory or glorify or glorification, those kind of words, how many hundreds of entries. And it's like, man, this is something that, you know, I hadn't really realized just how much focus.
It's clearly a big deal to God.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And you know, I think about that passage in Psalms. It said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about the glory of God, it's the glory of God is really boils down to who He is. And when you think about it, it's about his character and his goodness and his justice and all of those things, his mercy and all of those things are part of the glory of God. The magnificence that we see in creation is all a part of the glory of God. And then we as created beings, and He created everything, but especially us human beings, we were created to bring glory to Him. In other words, to lift Him up, to live out our lives as He would have us to live. Those things bring glory to Him. Mm-hmm. And we do that in a number of ways. We do that in the way we go to work. We do that in the way we worship when we're together on Sunday morning. We do that in the way we think and live. It's an entire life, really, is what it's about when it comes to glorifying God. We glorify God with our lives. That was the point I really wanted people to drill down on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I like that saying that says, we may be the only Bible that a lot of people ever see. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, what are you portraying for other people to see? I mean,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that idea of glorifying God, to kind of boil it down, I guess maybe to kind of think through the different, the different aspects of it. So really, it's the idea of living our life with the sole focus of having like God front and center,
mm-hmm.
right? Basically, to have Him be the one that we are constantly moving toward. And Him be the one that is the focus of all of our thoughts and behaviors and actions. And along the way, so we're constantly focused on Him and heading in that direction. And along the way, we're doing everything that we do in a manner of trying to please Him and to praise Him and to honor Him, you know, so that everything in our lives kind of points to Him as being the author of it, the creator of it, and the one who deserves the glory from it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that is it takes the focus off of what I do. And what I mean by that is quite often, in fact, we had a conversation with somebody last week who had a number of options, one of the young people here at Good News Gathering. They have a number of options in front of them that they can choose from. Okay, options with what they do with their life for the next phase of their life. Well, this particular person has a number of good options. They're all good things. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a choice between good and evil. It's well, I could do this or I could do this with my life. You know, I could go into this kind of employment or I could go into this kind of employment because this person's incredibly capable and gifted. And sometimes Christian people get caught up in, well, I have, you know, I just want God to tell me what I need to do. Give me the post-it note, basically.
The roadmap.
Exactly. And I think sometimes God's sitting up in heaven looking at us and saying, well, they're all good things. Take your pick.
Mm-hmm. I've given you several options
here. Yeah, I've given right. you several options. You could be really good at any one of these things. What do you think you're going to enjoy? Go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think God is less concerned about whether you're the phrase I used Sunday, whether you're a missionary, a Marine, an MD, or a mechanic. I don't think that matters to him that much. The question is, are you living out and glorifying him regardless of what your vocation might be? Mm-hmm. You know, are you bringing God glory by the way you work on the engine of a car, or by the way you spread his word to people in a foreign country, or by the way you work on somebody's heart, or the way you serve your country? I don't think he's as interested in that kind of detail as he is on who you are and how you live out your life.
So the question then kind of goes from, to some degree, from what do I need to do, or what's God's, you know, very specific will for this particular decision between two good things, obviously not between two bad things,
right?
Between right. good and evil, right? But it kind of goes from there to some degree, the assessment within us has to become what's going to allow me to glorify God the most. What decision do I feel like he is going to be best glorified through? That kind of becomes the decision we make, as opposed to, you know, what's the right, you know, thing if they're all good options. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes more about how can I leverage each of these options to do the most good in the world to glorify God.
Exactly. You know, I think there was a period, you know, of time in my life when I really believe God called me into the legal profession. And that profession, I think, gave me a number of opportunities to be a light in a dark world. Because, you know, the focus of my law practice was criminal defense. Well, you're dealing with people who are in a ton of trouble, people who have quite often made some very bad decisions in life, and you have an opportunity to impact those folks. You know, it was fascinating. I got a couple of letters just in the last month from somebody that I represented years ago who had been charged with murder. And this person had spent a significant amount of time in prison. And this person wrote to me just last month saying that they had accepted Christ. Uh-huh. And that they appreciated what I was able to do for them. And I thought about that a lot, that work gave me opportunities to be a witness to people. The other thing about that work is I don't think that I would be the teacher that I am today had it not been for law school and the training that I received there. And so even though God, in his infinite wisdom, has moved me out of, you know, the full-time practice of law into the teaching pastor role that I have now, he was able to use the experiences that I've had and the training that I received, I think, to better prepare me to teach as I do now. I don't think I would be the teacher I am today without that.
I guess I'm just sitting here, and what's jumping out at me is that idea you said earlier, that it takes a little bit of the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
That as we assess our lives and as we begin to think about those big questions of why are we here? What's the point? Why does this matter? What's the meaning of all this? You know, that's really very freeing to think for just a moment that maybe I don't have to have all the answers. Maybe I don't have to make the exact right decision next. Because to some degree or another, God is capable, because of his omniscience and perfection and his power, to work within the context of lots of decisions that could be made. And to, you know, that there's that fascinating, you know, verse in Romans chapter 8, you know, that, you know, all things, you know, work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So that means whether or not you feel like you've made the right decision in the past, whether you married the right person or the wrong person in the past, whether or not you took the right job or the wrong job in the past, certainly those choices have consequences.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that God can't work through any of those contexts if your goal is to glorify him.
Exactly. And I do think that takes the pressure off, because quite often what we find ourselves doing is we have choices between goods, different good things that we could do. And we get focused in on, well, which thing should I pick, rather than, you know what, God's going to work through whatever choice I make here. And as long as my intent is to glorify him. See, for example, when I went into law practice, I really believed God was calling me into that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel at that time that God was calling me into the ministry. I just didn't. I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a lot of joy in the law practice. God blessed it, and he used it. Now, ultimately, he moved me out of that, and I. You know, when that opportunity arose, I needed to follow that leading.
Sure.
But I really think, and it goes back to that conversation that you and I had with the young person here at Good News last week. This is a highly talented person with options available to them, all of which are good.
Yeah.
And she's struggling with, well, which should I pick? Well, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What one do you think is going to bring you the most joy? Go for that, because God's in your corner.
Yeah.
And he's given you these options. He's put you in the position where you have good things that you can choose from. Mm-hmm. So pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll use whichever choice you make, and you know, whatever the long-term goal is, I you know, that God has for you, I don't know, but he'll get you there.
Well, and I think too, had you not gone the law route, I bet you would still end up where you are today, because you are phenomenal at what you do right now. And I mean, so there again, picking a different option may have still ended you, or, you know, brought you to this point still. I mean, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if you would have had two or three different options that you were trying to decide on, it would have ended up, I think, in the same place. So, I mean, you know, with her situation, I mean, her end goal may end up the same, whichever one of those paths she picks. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's what jumps out. I guess, you know, I don't know that I've spent, you know, just as we sit in this conversation, I'm kind of going, man, I should have sat and thought about this more often because this is really interesting, you know, because I guess the thing that I'm pulling out of it is, you know, as long as our focus is wholly on find a way to glorify God with my life, if that remains like the number one thing for us, then we can count on a couple of things is I guess what it sounds like. We can count on the fact that God's going to work through any of the moments where we have choices between goods. He's probably going to work through either one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're looking at, you know, if you're a young person and you're looking at multiple colleges and you have acceptances from multiple colleges, well, I mean, as long as your goal is to glorify God, there's really not a wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a slightly older person and you're, you know, looking at first careers and you've got a couple of options, again, maybe not a wrong choice there, you know, but you can count on the fact that if your purpose is truly to glorify God with everything, just kind of in summation, you can trust that there's going to be, you know, God able to work through any of the choices between goods. But secondly, that you're going to have some guidance,
mm-hmm.
right? That there's going to be those moments where, you know, like I think about when the leadership team first asked you to give up part of your law practice, like there had to be some prayer in that. You know, you know,
yeah,
and you had to have come to a place where you were like, yeah, I think God's actually asking me to do that.
True.
You know, it's true. You know, there's a clarity that he will provide when he does want you to do something, like when it's clear that there's something he does want you to do, you can assume he's probably going to try to communicate that to you.
Oh yes.
Right. Like when it is a good and better choice,
exactly.
He's probably going to find a way to point you to better.
Yes. And, right? And not only that, but there's a joy that comes with that. I remember when I first moved into, my law office in 1996 and I'll never forget it because I sat down at the desk and I can't remember if it was Cheryl I was talking to, but somebody, I told him there's a very good possibility I will die at this desk because I saw myself as always being in the practice of law until I died. And then 2 years later, Good News Gathering began. Okay. Well, you know, when we first started Good News, and I think probably for the first 3 years, there was no paid staff. It was all volunteer. But when the leadership team did come to me and say, we want you to give up part of your law practice because this thing's growing, it needs more hands-on leadership, by that time, I felt that call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still saw myself as always being in the practice of law to some degree. And here we are at 20 years, and that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, you know, I always loved the practice of law. I always enjoyed it. I enjoyed my work. I felt like God used that. But by the same token, when he said it's time to move, he had set me up for that. I was prepared to move on, to do something different.
Mm-hmm. So if you're out there listening and you're kind of this discussion has been deep and I think important to have the walkaways for at least me today and I hope for some of you out there listening is that if you make your chief goal in life and you make your purpose in life to truly glorify God in everything you do and to truly seek him, then when you bump up against those moments in life where you have a choice between good and good, you can reasonably assume that God could work in either capacity. So make a pick and go. You know, and if you run up against those situations where there's a good but there's a better, listen closely because God is probably going to direct you. And at that point, if your goal truly is to glorify him, you're going to want to know which is the better God, which is the better, and go for it. And he's going to speak to your heart in a number of ways to try to point you in that direction. When you bump up against those situations where you've got a choice between good and bad, obviously, listen to the word and focus in. One of the interesting things that I think is fascinating, and this is probably where we'll land today, is the ability of God to even work through those situations that you didn't seek to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And maybe this goes to your point that you made a little bit earlier, Eric, that, you know, whether dad had gone into law or whatever, you know, if, you know, to some degree or another, he might have ended up in the same spot. You know, God has this phenomenal capacity to work through situations even when we aren't seeking to glorify him. I remember there have been choices in my life that I did not make with the ultimate aim being to glorify God. I made the ultimate aim to glorify me, or to do what I wanted to do, or to, you know, to placate somebody else, but certainly not a decision that was made based on glorifying God. And yet God has an amazing capacity to walk with you through those circumstances and get you to the other side. So say you're a person who despite all of the outward signs and all of the outward communication with God, went ahead and plowed through and married the wrong person, or took that job that wasn't a good one for you, or you know, headed down a road of poor decisions and ended up in trouble or in bad situations. Like, if you're still breathing, there's still a chance for God to pull you out of that if you shift your focus mm-hmm. to glorifying him. If there's anything that takes the pressure off, it's probably that, you know, a reminder that he can even work through situations when you didn't want to glorify him.
Yeah, I certainly don't recommend that.
Yeah, yeah, no, certainly not your number one goal. But
think about the Bible characters and the feet of clay that we see in all of them, except Jesus, of mm-hmm. course. But some of the decisions that they made, and yet God still used them. Mm-hmm. You think of Abraham and the lies that he told about his own wife. And yet God still worked through him.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of David and the horrible decisions that he made regarding another man's wife. And yet God still worked through him. And so God is able yeah. to help us make a comeback when we've messed up. He can do that.
And it all just centers around that willingness to drop our agenda
Mm-hmm.
for life and choose to glorify him above everything else.
Exactly.
You know, to make that the chief aim. You know, and I love the way the way that Westminster Catechism ends, you know, that our chief aim, the chief end of man, is the way it says it, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think that's fascinating. That enjoying God can truly be the result of seeking him to glorify him as our sole purpose, right? That when we make that our number one purpose, to glorify God, you can just really enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Even when it's good, even when it's bad, like, if your goal is to glorify God, you can enjoy him.
Forever.
All right. Yes. Like, that can start now. You know, I mean, Eric, you're a great example of that. I mean, I think, you know, in your job here at Good News, you have to do some of the tougher work, some of the less, the less volunteered for work around here. But you always seem to approach it with this great attitude And you always seem to be having fun when you're here, no matter if you're, you know, sweating 10 pounds off, you know, because you're outside doing a bunch of things, or, you know, you're in here, you know, cleaning out bathrooms or whatever. What is, you know, think you are one of those guys that seems to approach it with a standpoint of enjoyment.
Well, and when we first started coming here, it was one of those things where we were here week in and week out. And then, you know, it kind of got where I was kind of helping out with this and I was helping out with that. And I kind of joined this group and I joined that or whatever. And I remember coming to you guys at one point and just saying, you know, I just feel like I need to be here more often. Well, and then this job popped open. So, of course, you know, I applied for that. And I'm so glad that I did, because, I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, I love being here, and I do all those jobs. I mean, to me, those aren't jobs. It's just something I get to do while I'm here. You know, I mean, if I'm standing down there on the road picking up trash or whatever that's in our front yard, I mean, to me, that is when seekers are coming here, I just want the place to look good, you know, yeah. And I want everything to be nice, and I want them to have a good experience when they walk in, they walk through or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't want them to drive by and think, oh man, look at all that trash out there or whatever, you know what I mean, from whatever it is. So yeah, I mean, I do truly just enjoy being here. I mean, I love coming in. I love doing whatever it is that I get to do that day. And yeah, I mean, it's just fun for me. I mean, I don't consider it a job or a thing that I have to do. I mean, it's just something that I get to do. I had a lady that I work with about 5 or 6 years ago, and I just saw her for the first time because she'd kind of moved buildings and things. And I just saw her a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Eric, I'm so proud of you." And I was like, "For what?" And she's like, "Well, I mean, I just see all this stuff that you do, you know, with your church and through your church. And I see all these things, you know, that are posted on Facebook and all these events that you guys are involved in and all these things. And I just want to let you know how proud of you I am." You know, it really made me feel good. But but it's just one of those things that, I mean, I feel like I get to do all those things. Not that, you know, I have to or that I have to be involved, but it's just fun for me. So,
yeah. Well, and I think that's truly the way we can all live. When our main goal in life is to truly glorify God, it can lead to that kind of enjoyment, because the focus at that point is something that lasts forever, right? You know, that relationship with God is going to last forever. The things that we're doing now have eternal impact, and we can find great joy in that, and it can be not work. I mean, there will be moments, right? Sure, and there will be hard things. But by and large, you know, when our chief goal is to glorify God, he will make great things happen in our lives and give us great opportunities to serve, so that we can glorify him more. And that gives us great opportunity. So, guys, as we wrap it up today, just want to thank you very much for listening. If this discussion spurred any questions for you or any things you'd love to share with us, you can feel free to do that. Just shoot us an email at info@goodnewsgathering.org or drop a communication card if you're in here on a Sunday morning, and we'll respond to those questions as best we can. We truly appreciate you guys listening, and we hope that you have enjoyed this time. Have a great day, and we will talk at you soon.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good week.
Later, guys.